I read to you Psalm 119 verses 1 to 8. Aleph, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening hour that we can come together as your church bought with your precious blood before your throne of grace. Oh Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your only begotten Son. Thank you, blessed Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood on the cross for us, giving us the free gift of eternal life and the joy of being able to know you. And we thank you for your precious and holy word and your Spirit who indwells us and leads us into all truth. So even as we begin this year, Lord, seeking your face, looking into the pages of your word, as a church we ask, O Lord God, that you will pour out your Spirit upon us. Pour out your Spirit upon us and write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. And that, Lord, we would be transformed by your Spirit from within, and that you would make us more and more like Jesus. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for giving us your only Son. And we thank you, O blessed Holy Spirit, for coming to dwell in us. O come, Holy Spirit, speak to us this evening hour, we pray, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. The emphasis in this psalm, Psalm 119, it is the longest psalm in the Bible, and the emphasis is on the vital ministry of the Word of God in the inner spiritual life of God's children. The psalm describes how God's Word enables us to grow in holiness, and how believers through God's Word can handle the trials and the persecutions that always accompany anyone who is obediently walking in faith. The psalm is an acrostic psalm. It has 8 lines in each section, 8 verses in each section, and each successive section follows the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The first 8 verses all begin with the Hebrew alphabet Aleph, and that's why I read the first verse, Aleph. Each of those verses till the 8th verse begins with the alphabet Aleph. The next 8 verses, verses 9 to 16, all begin with the Hebrew alphabet Beth. And the next 8 verses, verses 17 to 24, all begin the third, it begins with the third Hebrew alphabet, Gimel. And so on. It is as though God was saying, here are the ABCs of how to use the Word of God in your life. The foundations, the ABCs of how to use the Word of God in your life. Now the author is unknown, and he uses 8 different words for the scriptures. He uses 8 different words for the scriptures. He uses the word law, that is the Torah. He uses the word testimony. He uses the word precept. He uses the word statute. He uses the word commandment. He uses the word judgment. Judgment in the sense of a rule for living. He uses the word of God. And he uses the word promise. And all of these 8 words are found in verses 33 to 40, verses 41 to 48, verses 57 to 64, verses 73 to 80, verses 81 to 88 and 129 to 136. By the way, there are a lot of verses going to be mentioned as we study Psalm 119. And so you can ask for the PPT and all those verses will be mentioned there. Some of the words used in Psalm 19, which is again a psalm about God's word, that is also used in Psalm 119. Words like perfect or blameless, pure, righteous, righteousness, meditate or meditation. All these are words that you find in Psalm 19 and also Psalm 119. And both Psalm 19 and Psalm 119 compare the word of God to gold and honey. And in both these Psalms, there is this strong emphasis on keeping or obeying God's word. Now, we do not know, as I said, who wrote the Psalm, and we cannot know for certain when it was written, but our ignorance regarding this should not hinder us from learning from this beautiful Psalm. Some attribute the Psalm to Moses, but that's unlikely. Others attribute the Psalm to a priest or a Levite who served in the second temple after the Babylonian captivity. Most likely Ezra. Most likely Ezra. Others attribute the Psalm to Jeremiah the prophet, saying that he wrote the Psalm to teach and encourage his young disciples after the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem. Now, whoever the author was, he is a good example for us to follow, for you find this person, this writer of the Psalm, he had an intense hunger, a hunger for holiness, and a passionate desire to understand God's word in a deeper way. A hunger for the word of God. And that is something that you and I need to follow. The Psalm is basically a combination of worship, prayer, praise, and admonition. And the basic theme of Psalm 119 is the practical use of the word of God in the life of the believer. So as we study Psalm 119, we will see the practical use of the word of God in the life of the believer. Now we must consider the fact that the writer of the Psalm probably did not have a complete Old Testament. If he wrote the Psalm after Jerusalem was destroyed, for example, if Jeremiah was the one who wrote the Psalm after the temple was destroyed, the Old Testament was not yet complete. Let alone a complete Bible, he did not have a complete Old Testament. Christian believers today, we own complete Bibles and we have so many Bibles in our homes. Yet, how many of us can say that we love God's word as the psalmist describes here? How many of us get up at night or early in the morning to read and meditate upon God's word? You see here in Psalm 119 verse 55, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. Apparently he would get up in the middle of the night, prompted by the Holy Spirit, to meditate on God's law. Psalm 119 verse 62, at midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. Psalm 119 verses 147 and 148. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. How many Christian believers ignore the Old Testament scriptures? And here is a psalmist who did not even have the whole Old Testament. We ignore the Old Testament scriptures or we read the Old Testament in a very careless, in a superficial manner. Yet here is a man who rejoiced. He rejoiced in the Old Testament scriptures, which was the only word of God that he had. He considered God's word as his food. Psalm 119 verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. He considered God's word as his greatest wealth. Psalm 119 verse 14. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Psalm 119 verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Again, Psalm 119, 127, verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Verse 162. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. So his love for the word of God puts today's believers to shame. If the psalmist, with his limited knowledge and resources, could live a godly and victorious life, feeding on the Old Testament, how much more should we as believers in Christ today, how much more we should live lives of victory, how much we should live for the Lord? After all, we have the entire Bible. We have the entire Bible before us, and we have 2,000 years of church history behind us. When the psalmist used the word law or Torah or any of the seven other words for the scripture, he was referring to much more than the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial instructions that have now been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was referring to the entire revelation of God as found in the Old Testament scriptures. Until the books in our New Testament were written and distributed in the first century, until then, the Old Testament scriptures were the only word of God possessed by the early church. Yet, with that scripture, with the Old Testament in their hands, the early church, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the early church, the first Christians, were able to minister and win the lost to Christ in a very dynamic way. People in the early church, how they used the Old Testament scriptures. Peter used Psalm 69 verse 25 and Psalm 109 verse 8 to receive guidance in choosing a new disciple after the death of Judas. You find this in Acts chapter 1 verses 15 to 26. Then Peter quotes Joel chapter 2 verses 28 to 32 at Pentecost to explain the advent of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter used Psalm 16 verses 8 to 11 and Psalm 110 verse 1 to prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2 verses 14 to 39. Then in his defense before the council in Acts chapter 7, you find Stephen. Stephen is opening with Genesis chapter 12 verse 1 and he closes with Isaiah chapter 66 verses 1 and 2. And between those two verses, he refers to Exodus, Deuteronomy, to Amos. He uses the whole Old Testament. Philip, he leads the Ethiopian eunuch to faith in Christ by using just Isaiah 53. We see that in Acts chapter 8 verses 26 to 40. The apostle Paul, he finds in Isaiah 49 verse 6 a mandate to continue ministering to the Gentiles. You see that in Acts chapter 13 verse 47. Then you see James, he concluded the Jerusalem conference. How? Quoting Amos chapter 9 verses 11 to 15. You see this in Acts chapter 15, verses 13 to 21. Paul even quoted an Old Testament verse about oxen to encourage churches to support their spiritual leaders. You see this in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. He quotes that verse in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9, and also in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 is quoted as a key verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 37 to 38. So, in their theology, in their decisions, in their ministry, the early church depended on guidance from the Old Testament scriptures. That's the only scriptures they had because the New Testament was not yet written. Many believers today stand guilty of ignoring the Old Testament except for reading a few favorite psalms. And therefore, many are ignorant of what God's law teaches. The psalmist testified that law and grace worked together in his life. Psalm 119 verse 29, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. Graciously teach me your law. You see that law and grace go hand in hand. Psalm 119 verse 58, I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. Law and grace are not enemies. God's law sets the standard and God's grace enables us to meet that standard. Romans chapter 8 verses 1 to 3. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. The writer of Psalm 119 delighted in God's word. He delighted in God's word. There's a hunger for the word of God. He delights in God's word. Psalm 119 verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Again, verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Verse 35, lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. The Apostle Paul, you find him echoing this joy in Romans chapter 7 verse 22, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Paul says, I delight in the law of God in my inner being. Now, Paul did not annul God's law and set it aside. Rather, he said that the law was holy, the law was just, the law is good. The law is holy, just, and good. And he also says that the law is spiritual. Romans chapter 7 verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. You see, the law of God is given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. The law of God is spiritual, and when we meditate upon God's law, the Holy Spirit, God's law is used by the Holy Spirit to minister to our spirit, because the law is spiritual. Of course, nobody is saved or sanctified by striving to obey the law. No. But for the dedicated Christian believer, there is a deeper meaning to the law. And what is that? That is a writing of the word of God upon our hearts. The writing of the word of God upon our hearts. And this is what the Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now this happens because of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. The new covenant in Jesus Christ promised in Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 33, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. You see, that's how we can serve the Lord, our God, with all our hearts, mind, and with all our soul. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. And I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So as we meditate on the word of God, because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will write God's word upon our minds and our hearts. So we will be able to think the thoughts of God. We will be constantly able to hear from God as we walk through the day. And this is so important for us. This is how we make God's word real to us. The writer to the book of Hebrews, he quotes this verse, Jeremiah 31, verse 33. He quotes this verse to us, new covenant believers in Christ. He's telling us in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this is what God does to us. Because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, because we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross to forgive us of our sins, and who has given us new life because we have repented of our sin and turned to Christ. He has put his spirit in our hearts, and he writes his word upon our minds and upon our hearts as we meditate on God's word. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. God not only forgives us, he also helps us by the power of his spirit and his word to live righteous lives. So God's law in our hearts will help us love what is holy and do what is right. I repeat, God's word in our hearts will help us to love what is holy and do what is right. Psalm 119 verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And this was the approach that Jesus took when he spoke about God's word. In Sermon on the Mount he speaks about the Word of God. The Word of God performs many wonderful ministries in the life of the devoted believer. And I list 12 ministries of the Word of God, and I give you the Bible verses there. And if you ask for the PPT, Dinah will be able to give you the PPT so that you can recollect these verses. And I would suggest that you go through these verses in Psalm 119. Because this is so practical. The Word of God performs these wonderful ministries in the life of the devoted believer. God's Word, number one, God's Word keeps us clean. Psalm 119 verse 9. Number two, God's Word gives us joy. Psalm 119 verse 14, verse 111, verse 162. Number three, God's Word guides us. Psalm 119 verse 24, verses 33 to 35, verse 105. Number four, God's Word establishes our values. Psalm 119 verse 11, verse 37, verse 72, verse 103, verse 127, verse 148, verse 162. Number five, the Word of God helps us to pray effectively. You know, the best way to pray is to pray God's Word. The Word of God helps us to pray effectively. Psalm 119 verse 58. Number six, God's Word gives us hope. Psalm 119 verse 49. Number seven, God's Word gives us peace. Psalm 119 verse 165. Number eight, God's Word gives us freedom. Psalm 119 verse 45 and verse 133. Number nine, loving the Word of God will bring the best friends into our lives. You want good friends? Love the Word of God, and God will bring to you people who love His Word. Psalm 119 verse 63, verse 74, verse 79. Number 10, God's Word will help us find and fulfill God's purposes. You want to know God's will for your life? Get into God's Word. Psalm 119 verse 73. Number 11, God's Word will strengthen us to witness. You want to be effective in witnessing? Get into God's Word. Psalm 119 verses 41 to 43. And the 12th ministry, the blessing. When we think we are down, when we are out, what will happen? If you are people who are hungry for the Word, God's Word will revive us and get us back on our feet. Psalm 119 verse 25, verse 37, verse 40, verse 88, verse 107, verse 149, verse 154, 156, 159. All these verses are found in Psalm 119. 12 wonderful ministries of the Word of God in the life of the believer. So if we delight in God's Word, if we learn God's Word, if we treasure God's Word, and we obey what God's Word says, the Lord will work in us and through us to accomplish great things for His glory. Please don't study the Word of God for a quiz competition. That's not what God expects out of you. I'm not against it, but that's not what God expects you to do with His Word. God expects you to treasure His Word in your mind, in your heart, and obey God's Word. That's what God wants, and that's why He has given us His Word, not to use it as some intellectual game. The Lord will work in us if we humble ourselves before His Word, and through His Word, in us, written in our minds and our hearts, He'll accomplish great things for His glory. So as we read and study Psalm 119, you will see the writer in a variety of experiences. All different experiences he goes through, but his devotion to the Lord and God's Word will not change. Circumstances will change, but God and His Word remain the same. So now let's look into verses 1 to 8 of Psalm 119, and I read to you once again. Verses 1 to 8, Psalm 119. Aleph, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. do not utterly forsake me. So verses 1 to 8 tell us that we can live lives that are blessed and blameless. We can live lives that are blessed and blameless if we hide the word of God in our minds and our hearts. If we let God write his word upon our minds and our hearts. The opening word of the psalm, blessed, that's repeated in verse 2, but then you don't find it anywhere else in the psalm. How can we receive God's blessing? We can receive God's blessing by being blameless before the Lord, obedient to his law, wholehearted in our relationship to him, walking in integrity, not with a divided heart. So that's how we receive God's blessing, by being blameless before the Lord, walking in integrity, meaning not a divided heart, wholeheartedly obeying, wholeheartedly committed to the Lord in our relationship with him. But some of the words that follow in the psalm, like law, precepts, statutes, decrees, commands, that might frighten you. Sometimes it even paralyzes us with despair. Because often when we think of the law, we usually think of cursing and not blessing. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Then you see in the rest of the chapter the curses that are mentioned there. But we must remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore the curse of the law. He bore it for us in a sinless body when he shed his blood on the cross. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The law is not a weapon in the hands of an angry judge, but it is a tool in the hands of a loving father. And used by the Holy Spirit, the law of God makes us more and more like Jesus. The word of God enables us to know God better, to draw closer to him. Blameless. That's how God wants us to live. Blameless. It does not mean sinless. It means living with integrity. Wholehearted devotion to the Lord. Sincerity. Integrity. Only Jesus Christ was totally sinless. But because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He has poured out his love into our hearts. The moment we are born again, God pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit enables us. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. God's law is not a heavy yoke that crushes us. His commandments are not burdensome. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commands. That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. So seeking God means much more than reading your Bible. It means much more than even studying your Bible. What does seeking God mean? It means hearing God's voice in his word. And because we hear his voice, we love him more and more. And wanting to delight his heart and please him, that's what it means to seek God. It means wholehearted surrender to him. Psalm 119 verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Again, verse 10. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Verse 34. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Verse 145. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. So God expects a wholehearted surrender to him. And there must be an unwillingness on our side to permit any rival love to enter our hearts. All of the Psalms make it clear that this kind of life, it doesn't come without dangers. This kind of life is not without dangers. It is not without disappointments. We often fail. And the writer of the Psalm found himself in the dust. And he's crying out for reviving. Psalm 119 verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. Again, verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. So, it is a life that has dangers. There are disappointments. Sometimes we fail. But He is the Lord God who will revive us as we look to Him, as we look into His Word, as we seek His face. So when the psalmist is crying out for revival, what does he do? He confesses his sins. And then he gets up and he starts walking with God again. So the victorious Christian life, I believe, is a series of new beginnings. And as we cultivate an appetite for the Word of God, and as we feed upon it, we give the Holy Spirit something to work with in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit enables us to walk in God's ways. Psalm 119 verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Verse 131. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Just imagine you're running and then you start panting because you're so tired. You pant and then you're thirsty. And that's how we must long for the word of God. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. If we feel ashamed when we read the word, then we have to stop and find out why, and then we must confess it to the Lord. Psalm 119 verse 6. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. If we are ashamed because of our disobedience, then we cannot witness to others. Psalm 119 verse 46. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. When we are ashamed of our disobedience, then we will be ashamed of our hope. Verse 116. Uphold me according to your promise. Uphold me according to your promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Better to be ashamed now and confess and forsake sin than to be ashamed when we meet the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. So if you are born again, then we will walk in righteousness. Psalm 119 verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. Praise and worship is very good preparation for learning about God, for learning from His word. It is so important that the psalmist repeats it. In verse 12 he repeats it. Verse 171 he repeats it. Psalm 119 verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. You see, he's praising the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, bless His holy name. That's praising the Lord with all his heart. And that's very good preparation to receive from God's word. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Psalm 119 verse 171. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. Psalm 119 verse 5. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Our ways may not yet be God's ways. But as we press on by faith, what will happen? He'll help us. And He will teach us His ways. He will not forsake us. Psalm 119 verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. The book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now Jacob was far from being a spiritual man. When he ran away from his home, But the Lord promised not to forsake him. Genesis 28 verse 15. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. You see that? For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now Jacob believed that promise and he became a godly man. He became a godly man. Remember that the word Jacob means deceiver. And God even condescends to be called the God of Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he says. Because he alone can transform Jacob's life. A blameless life is actually a transformed life. A life of integrity. Integrity is the opposite of duplicity. It's the opposite of deception. It's the opposite of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the pretense to be something we are not. That's hypocrisy. The pretense to be something that we are not. If we have integrity, our whole lives are built around the word of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Now ask yourself this question. Am I wholeheartedly into the word of God? Or are you just nibbling the word of God once in a while? Whenever you feel like it, you read. And when you don't feel like it, you don't read. No, my friends. We must hunger for the word of God. That's how we seek God. It also includes, it includes the mind. It includes the mind. It includes the heart, mind, emotion, our will. Psalm 119 verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. When I learn your righteous rules. So our minds, remember we have the mind of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit can write God's word upon our minds. It also includes the will. Psalm 119 verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. In other words, when you give your whole heart, mind and will to the word of God, God's word begins to work in you through the Holy Spirit. And God puts your life together. He makes your life a life of integrity. Now ask yourself, what is the opposite of integrity? Divided. That's duplicity. Deception, hypocrisy. That's the opposite of integrity. Ask yourself, is your life or your home falling apart today? Then what must you do? Turn to the word of God. The Bible has one author, who is God. The Bible has one theme, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible has one message, the salvation of your soul. The Bible has one blessing to bring, a life of integrity. The word of God, the Bible, is the most powerful spiritual resource that we have today in our hands. And through the Holy Spirit, God will take his word as we meditate on his word, as we hunger for his word, and he will transform us from within. And we will be children who walk in integrity. So as you walk in the life of faith, the Holy Spirit uses the Bible to minister to you. So get into the word of God and let the word of God get into you and make you whole and build integrity into your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer.